Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. So happy you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I'd like, first of all, if you're liking these podcasts, if you like this one or the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or the Funnel Down Defense Podcast, if you like any of those, go over and check them out. Leave a 5-star review. We love sending them out to the world. It's one of my passions in the world is kind of share this game. But before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. It's easy to set up. It's got great customer service, and they are always on the cutting edge of giving players and coaches what they need. And that's why I love them. They not only give stuff away, if you go over and look at Dr. Dish is always giving stuff away and sharing with the community. And that's why I want to share them with you. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $400 off. That's right, $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. 14-day free trial. No one else does that. No one else gets the cell phone number and the email for the runner. No one else is being run by a high school coach for a high school coach. This is what I do. This is what I do. I'm not running this other thing. I'm not a businessman. I'm a high school basketball coach trying to help you become a better basketball coach. And to be honest with you, I've done pretty well in my career, and I'd like to share that with other coaches. So go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged, episode 8 billion. I have no idea. And I apologize for my voice. We're taping this. I'm not sure when you're going to hear it, but we're taping this in February. And I always sound like Kermit the Frog, for those of you that are old enough. I'm glad I'm actually don't have a radio job, because every January and February, it's a combination of cold and raising my voice. We'll just say that. you'll hear a different Coach Collins come spring. But anyway,
you need some of this, Coach.
I know. I got coffee in one from.
I got tea, brother.
I got world's tea. Best boss. And then I got some water. So it's like I'm trying to. But yes, tea is the best.
Yes, sir.
My daughter's an actress, and she always tells me, more tea, Dad.
That's yes. It.
So yes. I agree. So Stefan, I'm going to have you kind of introduce yourself, and just kind of tell us about what I refer to as your basketball journey, kind of how you got into coaching, what got you to this point of, us two of us sitting here talking on a Sunday morning.
Awesome. First of all, I just want to thank you for having me, Steve. It's always a great opportunity to be able to share, not just a great game of basketball, but to share my journey. Because I believe that my journey is one that can help and inspire others. And so I'm always willing and able to share my journey to helpfully inspire other young people or other coaches and things around me. So my journey began I wrote a book about it, and so anyone interested, you can go find the book.
Okay, so I told him before we jumped in. I said we'll talk about the book, but
yeah, we'll talk about it later.
No, we'll do it right now. This makes sense. So I love the name of it. They call me Coach. Yeah. I think Coach is like one of the best things you can be called, other than Dad or Mom.
Yes, sir.
Where was I leaving? I think I was leaving one of our away games, and someone goes, "Hey, Coach," and it's like, "Hey, Dad," you just turn. Like, if my name's Steve, so someone says,
"I don't even know my own name sometimes because nobody calls me Stefan; they call me Coach."
I know it's a great thing, and I always
say that's the title of the book. It's the first line in the book. I don't know my name sometimes; they just call me Coach.
I know. I love that. So tell us a little bit about. We can jump into the book. Tell us a little bit about the book and how it came about.
The book is my journey, and you ask about my basketball journey. I grew up as an inner city kid, single family. I mean, single mom, seven kids in the family. I fell in love with sports, and basketball became that sport that I chose to follow. Even though I played a little baseball and football, and as well ran track, basketball became that sport because I met a coach in the gym around the age of 16 years old. And this coach saw something in me. He's like a father figure to me now. His name's Dave Stallman, and lives in Missouri, but we stay in touch. This coach saw something in me at Memorial High School in Houston, Texas. He came up to me one day and he said, "Hey, you know, you're a pretty good player. You know, when are you going to school? Yada, yada, yada." I told him I went to Madison High School. We won the state championship the year before. I was looking forward to going back and winning another state championship. But lo and behold, he said, "Hey, have you ever been to a basketball camp?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm taking a group of kids to Pistol Pete Maravich basketball camp." Now, mind you, Steve, although Pistol Pete, you know, that was back in 1986, right? So although Pistol Pete was a well-known person and Hall of Famer, I was an inner city kid that, you know, we put aluminum foil on the rabbit ears to try and get, you know, to see games. So I didn't know who Pistol Pete was.
Right. In 86, you were talking about Michael, probably. Yeah. You're talking about, right. You know.
Right. He definitely stepped on the scene, right? Lakers and watching Magic and Michael started. If I could get a signal, that's what I was watching. So I didn't know anything about Pistol Pete.
I know. It's funny how, like, I grew up, I was a Lakers fan. You were a Lakers fan or a Celtics fan?
That's right. Yeah.
Like, when I grew up. You had to pick one. Like, you couldn't be both. And then Detroit came onto the scene.
That's right.
And then Michael came onto the scene. I mean, and the game was so different. It was literally a football. It was football at that point. It was, anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
So anyways, all good. So anyways, this coach takes me to the great Hall of Fame of Pistol Pete Maravich basketball camp. Now, mind you, I'm telling you, I'm an inner city kid. I'm a hood rat. I tell people I was a hood. I'm a transformed hood rat is what I call myself. And so he took me to this camp, and I was pretty good back in the day. You know, I was being recruited and things like that. And so when I got there, I just wanted to be the best. I just told him I'm going to be the best kid here. But I was a little rambunctious. I talked trash, and, you know, it wasn't that type of environment. It was in Pensacola, Florida. At Pensacola Christian College, and I didn't know anything about Christianity or nothing. I just went in there just being me, little street kid. Anyways, athletically, I dominated the camp. And at the end of the camp, Pistol Pete said, "Hey, I want to have lunch with you." And I thought he wanted to have lunch with me because I was the baddest dude in the camp. You know what I mean? He took me, we went to the cafeteria, had lunch with me, and he told me, he said, "You know, I want you to know that you're a really good player." He said, "You remind me of my old teammate in Boston, Tiny Archibald." He said, "You got a great skill set and talent." And he said, "But the thing concerns me is your character." And at that time, I didn't know what character meant, Steve. I thought, that's a word. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, so he told me, he said, "I invited you to lunch because I wanted to tell you, I didn't want to embarrass you, but I wanted to tell you that even though you're the best kid at the camp, I'm not going to give you the MVP award." And with complete disappointment and devastation, I flipped the trade table over and I stormed out on Mr. Pistol P. Maravich. And I said, I said something rude and whatever, and I ran off. Lo and behold, I'm from Houston, and coach took me to this camp in Florida. I couldn't run anywhere. So I ran onto a curb, and I sat on the end of the curb outside the college. And coach was looking for me. He finally found me. And when he found me, he came sat by me. He said, hey, Pete told me what happened. He said, I just want to tell you, that's why I invited you to camp, because I see the same potential in you, but I'm afraid if you don't deal with your character, you're not going to ever become anything in life. So he said, hey, I want you to do me a favor. He said, please come to the closeout of the camp, and you'll know why I invited you here. So I go to the closeout of the camp, and I hear Pistol Pete's story of his dad training him and helping him be the best player, always pushed him to be the best and be the best. And so when he was dominating in college and in the NBA, he was a mouthy dude as well. And so much so that he told a story. I tell my kids this all the time, that when he was in a bar one night when he scored 60-something points, there was a dude in there who said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of you coming in here after you score all these points and bragging to everyone about how great you are. And Pete said, you know, he had a little drink and he was spouted right back at him. And the dude said, I bet you won't step outside. And he said he stepped outside because there were women around and he was trying to impress everybody that he was Pistol Pete. And he stepped outside and the dude grabbed a gun out of the back of his back and he put it in his mouth. He told him, get down on your knees. And he had that gun in his mouth and he said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll worship you the rest of my life. And if anyone knows that story of Pistol Pete, that he became a Christian, he went back to the Celtics, became a Christian, and he felt like he was done with basketball and he just wanted to inspire and help kids the rest of his life. And I became one of those people. That night, I became a Christian at his camp, and it was like my whole life changed. I'm a black man who lived in the inner city. This coach who took me was white. He took me to a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting, the family saw me and wanted to adopt me. They say they saw something in me and wanted to give me a better place to live. And so my life story is kind of like the Blind Side movie. I'm a black man that was adopted by a white family that helped me become who I am today. So I left home. I told my mom, I said, I got to go. Mom, I got to go. I think there's something that I need to do in life.
How old were you at that camp?
17. I was 16 at the camp. I turned 17 in October when I was at the school.
And you were going to be a senior?
I was going to be a senior.
Okay. Okay.
And so I became a Christian at the camp. And I made a decision to leave home. I had six brothers and one sister. We all lived in a two-bedroom apartment in the inner city. I was sleeping on the floor anyway, getting up, going to school, you know, barely making passing grades because there was no pass, no play. So I had to pass in order to play, right?
Right.
So I wasn't motivated by getting great grades or academically. In fact, I had to really, really like the movie The Blind Side. Raise my grades in order to get a scholarship to college. And so, but Pistol Pete Maravich saw something in me and he invited me to a second camp here in Houston, right before school started. And I went back to that camp and Steve, in the matter of July or June to August, or right before school started, I was a changed kid. I went back to his camp here in Houston and I dominated the camp again and I got the MVP award. I still have those three awards that hold them dear to my heart. You know, of course, coming from Pistol Pete. Most Valuable Player Award, the Character Award. I was a different kid. And so for me, my journey in basketball started there. I started doing basketball camps with Pistol Pete. He was getting older and I got the tricks and the stuff down packed that when he wanted something demonstrated, he got the young Stephon Leary to do that. And so that seed was planted in me to now want to use the game of basketball to impact young people's lives. Although I was recruited by a lot of top schools, Indiana, Bob Knight recruited me to replace, you know, Smart and Keith Smart. I visit Baylor, Arkansas. I was a highly recruited prospect, but something inside of me began to change that I wanted more out of becoming a better Christian in my life. And so I went to an All-American camp, and Liberty coach was there looking for unsigned players. And I just so happened to be one. I used up all my visits. Liberty offered me a scholarship. Sight unseen, I'm going off to Liberty University in Virginia.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And when I decide that I'm going to do that, Pistol Pete asked me to spend the rest of the summer going around with him doing camps. And so I did that. That year also became the year my freshman year in college, Pistol Pete passed away. And when he passed away, I always felt like he left something inside of me to inspire other people through the game of basketball. But it took some time for all of that to happen. I started as a freshman, but then I got knee surgeries, knee problems. And when I had a knee problem, my college coach, Jeff Meyer, who I'm in a group text with my teammates still today, Coach Meyer said, hey, to earn your scholarship, what I would like for you to do is to be a student assistant coach. Go to class, get your grades, and then come to the office. Sit in the office with us, go over the practice plans. I'll give you the ball handling stuff and the shooting stuff, drills. So he started planting seeds in me to be a coach. I didn't want to be a coach, Steve. I wanted to play in the NBA and make a lot of money and get my family out of the inner city.
Right.
So it didn't register at that time that the coaching seeds were being planted. I later learned that in life. But when I graduated, I came back home and I played in the pro-ams, and I had a game where I scored 66, and an agent was there. His name's Tony Dutt. He's still a good friend today. I even worked with him in the NBA agent business. Tony Dutt says, hey, I'm an agent. Where do you play ball? I said, I don't anymore. I graduated from college. And he said, well, would you like to play professionally? I say, well, sure, that's been my goal and dream. And so Tony had a lot of hookups. Tony got me an opportunity to try out with the Spurs back when John Lucas was the coach. The Houston Rockets when Chaney was the coach, I went and tried out. But those knees just never recovered. They never recovered. It wasn't meant to be. And because it wasn't meant to be, I was sitting in church on a Sunday morning, and the principal of the school that I went to saw me, and he came up to me and he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, I just tried to play a little ball, and I'm actually looking for what's next in my life. And Rick Tankersley, he said, we have a coaching opportunity available here at the school. Would you like to come and coach for us? And that's when the coaching journey started. I said yes to that, Steve, and it was a small Christian school. The first year I went there, I was the athletic director. I was the basketball junior high coach, girls and boys. I was the high school basketball coach, girls and boys. I was the track coach.
You were probably the janitor.
I was the janitor as well.
I'm telling you, man, people don't understand that. Unless you're at a high D1, it's like I'm sweeping the floor before practice.
Man, it's the baskets. The same, is it?
Doesn't matter, man. You're always doing that stuff.
No doubt about it. So I end up coaching everything, and I'm off and running. So 1993, I became a head coach, high school coach. I took the school, and mind you, this school now is Faith West Academy, but I later learned that the leadership of the school was the same leadership of the school that I went to when I was came out to live with the family. So I basically was coaching at my alma mater, basically. And it was a fresh start. We went from being beat by 100 to ended up winning state championships with girls and boys. I built a successful program there that my alma mater, Liberty University, called me. We were last in the country at the time back in 2002. Called me back, asked me would I like to come and be a part of helping them rebuild the program. So I ended up going to Liberty as an assistant, went to the NCAA tournament while I was there in 3 years. We turned that program around from last to one of the top programs and dominating that conference. I then get some opportunities to go and be a head coach at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida, and also a head coach at Texas A&M International in Laredo, two competitive D2 conferences. That was a great opportunity. And then, lo and behold, I'll go back to Faith West again, and I just see that times are changing, philosophies changing. I said, you know what? I'm going to start my own program. And so now I run a training and AAU basketball program in which we have over hundreds of kids that train and play AAU for me. And through that opportunity, I came up with a concept of a training shoe. And so recently I invented my own training shoe with my own training concepts. I have a patent for it. So I'm trying to get the shoe out on the ground. COVID hit. I'm sitting around by myself. I'm not a married man. So I ended up, you know, throwing up. I tell people I threw up words on pages and wrote two books. That book being the story and my journey in life. They Call Me Coach is the name of it. And the caption under that, They Call Me Coach, is you are more than what you see. And I say that because I never saw myself as who I am today. I never thought in my wildest dream that I would have been a Division I coach, a successful high school coach, an inventor with a patent, which you're, you know, a small percentage of people. There's not even a million patents that have been given out, and there's hundreds of millions of people who've been living. So
you're
a small percentage if you own a patent for something. So I'm just a young man who figured out who he was. I'm a coach, and I'm trying to use my life and my life story, my journey of loving people beyond the color of the skin. A white family took me in, taught me about love beyond who, no matter what color I am, and building my first coaching program. No matter what stage you are in the game of basketball, you can become a champion. That's who I am.
Yeah, I think people underestimate coaches and teachers, to be honest with you.
I do too. They don't pay them enough.
They definitely don't pay them enough.
All those jobs that I did that first year, I went to that Christian school, I was the athletic director, I taught classes, and I did all of that coaching for $25,000.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The thing is, I think what people don't realize, and this is me on my soapbox a little bit, but you have to treat people one of two ways. You have to pay them really well, and maybe work them really hard, or treat them really well, not pay them like a priest or anything. But teachers and coaches are neither. They don't get treated well, and they don't get paid well. So, and they have probably the biggest impact on kids' lives of anybody. So, because I teach seniors, and I ask them, name all your elementary school teachers. I can still name all my elementary school teachers. Just start listing them off. Because I said they have the biggest impact in your lives. You spend the whole year with them, and they mold you into who you become. And, you know, it's like, but no one's like, none of my kids are becoming teachers anymore. I'm worried about the next generation.
Man.
Because no one's like, 20 years ago, everyone was like, you know, I'd have 10% of my class going to be, I want to be a teacher anymore. anymore. Right. It's like, so, what are we going to do? You know, there's going to have to, somebody's going to have to, I mean, I guess put a robot in front of them, I guess. But I
don't know. We're headed toward that day and age, right? So last night I had AAU, tryouts, and I was able to have two of my former players who have come back to coach with me. And I just told my kids what you're saying now last night. There's no greater joy than watching kids leave your program, go get college educations, and come back and say, "Coach, can I coach with you?" I have three in my program that played for me in my AAU program. Now that are graduating from college, they're back and wanting to help inspire other young people. But you're right. I do worry that we don't have the right people for the right, inspiring young people to be the best they're capable of being. Coaching has gotten to the point where there's not a lot of teaching. I go to a lot of practices, games. I know all the coaches in the area. And, man, I watch some of those things, man, and I'm thinking, oh, God. Oh, hey, I got out of AAU for 2 years when I wrote those books and invented my shoe. And I went back and started watching kids play and develop. And I said, man, oh, man, this is the worst basketball I think I've seen in a long time. I got to help. I got to get back out there and help. So I decided to get back out there.
All right, so let's talk about practice a little bit.
Okay.
So when you were coaching, at the high school level or even the collegiate level,
yes.
give us a little insight on your practices.
So my practices, again, the first and foremost thing is tapping into the mind and the heart is what I always tell coaches. If you can't get a kid to get his mind off of what's going on off the floor to focus on what's going on the floor, and you can't get the heart and the passion out of the heart to want to give you their best no matter what is going on, you can't get the best out of a child. You're coaching a robot, like you said. You're coaching someone who's showing up because you heard all the excuses. My mom said I had to come. My dad's going to take my car if I don't show up, and you get all of these different excuses for why a kid is just standing there before you. And you're like, yo, I'm here to work. Let's go. And they stare at you like. And so I always tell people the first and foremost thing you have to do is you must grab the attention of the mind and the heart. And if you're going to get anything out of that kid that day, and I always tell him, I don't know what's going on outside of these walls of this gym or on this floor, but for the next hour and a half.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like it. Go over and check out our other podcasts, High School Hoops, Teacher Side Gig, and then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.